Let's begin with prayer. Thank you, God, that we can gather together here this morning, and thank you for the opportunity that each one of us has to be here and to look into your word and learn and grow. Lord, I just pray that your presence would be here, and that you would guide our hearts and our thoughts, and just help us to be ready to hear whatever we can. Use that and apply it in our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this morning I'd like to speak on a fear of God. I've been noticing more and more as I was reading through the Bible, the fear of God is mentioned. It's mentioned a lot of times. And I had mostly just read over it and not thought too much about it. But I feel like it's something that I should understand better, and a lot of us could understand better. So that's something I'm going to be looking at here. The brief definition of the fear of God that I came up with, I think there's two kinds of the fear of God. I think there's a godly fear, and I think there is a ungodly fear. I think the fear of God for the unbeliever will be a fear of God, a fear of a holy God, a just God, and just knowing that you are in violation of that God's laws, I think should put a fear in you. But I feel like the believer's fear will be a reverence and an obedience and an awe of God. I want to look at today what the fear of God looks like in our life. One thing I've noticed reading through the verses on the fear of God is that many of them are tied to either a promise, and some of them are tied to a condition as well, but most of them are tied to a promise. It says, if you fear the Lord, you will have this. I think there's a lot of things tied to fearing God, but the thing I want to start with, and I'm going to go over several things, is a reverence. I think that a reverence for God is a fear of God. It's an outward indication of where our heart is at. Philippians 2:12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you. Reverence for God, reverence for God's word, I think is something that the church in America especially is weak on. I have never been really to different countries and experiences, but I've heard that it's a lot more, there's a lot more reverence for God in a lot of third world countries, in a lot of countries where Christians are persecuted for their faith as well. I think part of the reason why it is a weakness for the church in America is that we have more of a reverence for worldly things around us, and there's a lot of attention that can be taken away from God by famous athletes, famous people, and also by worldly entertainment. It can really take away from our reverence for the things of God, and even been brought into churches as well. One thing I was thinking about is what would be our attention or our reverence if a very famous person or maybe a world famous athlete would be here? What would our attention be to him? Would we listen to every word he said? Would we watch every move he made? I think we would, and that same attention should be given to God, should be given to God's word. But it's often not. And I stumbled across a quote by Charles Spurgeon as I was going through this here. It says, if we want revivals, we must first revive our reverence for the word of God. And I think that's very true. I think it's something that we lack. I think it's something that I've lacked. We can turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I just want to read a couple of verses here. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. It says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Are we serving God with that reverence and that fear? That is an acceptable thing to God. Are we taking God's word seriously like we should? The second thing I would like to point out with regard to the fear of the Lord, I guess you could call it a qualification for having the fear of the Lord, is obedience. And I think this one's pretty important, and I have reasons for that. Psalm 112, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." Ecclesiastes 12, 13 says, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Fearing God and keeping his commands. There's many more verses just like that throughout the Proverbs and really through the whole Bible. And fearing God and keeping his commandments, they're often put together. I think one thing that will destroy our obedience to God, I think it has in many situations, is the fear of man. And one thing you'll notice is the fear of man, there's nothing good said about it in the Bible. There's a lot said about the destruction that comes from fearing men, though. And I would like us to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. This is a well-known story of Saul when he was told to destroy the Amalekites and all their things. He ended up keeping some stuff, keeping the king alive. So 1 Samuel chapter 15. Going to read verses 13 through 26. "And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, Thou brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. And then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go, and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. So Saul disobeyed God, and his excuse here to Samuel was that he feared the people. He feared God rather than men, and he ended up losing his kingdom, ultimately, because of that. I think so many of us can fall into that same thing that Saul did here. We know what's right, and we may want to do what's right, but we fear people and what they think more than we fear God. If we're not taking those things in our life that we know need to change seriously, then we do not really fear God like we should. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man is a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." Proverbs 18:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil." Do we hate evil, or do we tolerate it in our lives? It is only by the fear of God that we can depart from evil. Obedience to the word is evidence, I believe, of that fear of God. I would like to look at one more thing. I think it is characteristic of fearing God, and that is humility. And this is where the fear of man can really get in our way. Proverbs 28:14 says, "Blessed is the one that fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity." Fearing God is contrasted there with a proud heart and a hardened heart. We all know the story of Nebuchadnezzar, and that was a prime example of someone who knew what was right. He had a dream from God, but he didn't want to acknowledge God, and he wanted to be able to look at the city and the things around him and say, "These are the things I've done," instead of recognizing that God is the one who puts people in place and power. He wasn't willing to humble himself, and he fell into calamity. Are we perceptive to God's work in our life, or are we worried about man's opinions of us? I'm just going to read that verse one more time. It says, "Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity." We do need to make sure we are not hardening our heart and that we're willing to humble ourselves when we need to be right before God. Isaiah 66, verse 2 says, "The one to whom I'll look, this is the one to whom I'll look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit, and he who trembles at my word." Fearing God corresponds with a humble heart. So those are a few things I wanted to go over as far as what fearing God was, reverencing God, having the humility to obey God, even when it may not look good or feel good to us. These things are a real fear of God. And the importance of the fear of God, it's really made apparent as you read over all the verses. There's so many of them. I have just a few here that I want to read. There's many things promised to those that fear the Lord. I'm going to read just a few here. Fear of the Lord brings wisdom. Proverbs 1, chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9, 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 15, 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. There's many more verses like that on the fear of the Lord bringing wisdom. The fear of the Lord also brings life. Proverbs 10:27, it says, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." Proverbs 14:27 says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." The fear of the Lord also brings refuge. In Proverbs 14:26, it says, "The fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." So all these things come through fearing the Lord in our lives. And if we can put aside the distractions and reverence for, or maybe not reverence, but attention being pulled to political figures or sports or whatever it is that our attention and reverence is going to, we can put God in our rightful, in the rightful place in our life. In closing, I want to clarify, if I didn't well at the beginning, that the fear of God that I'm talking about is not a, it's not a fear of a cruel master or a hard king. It is a fear more like a father. Now, if you are in violation of its commands, there should be a fear there still. There is a couple verses I want to read in Exodus that kind of speak to this a little bit. Exodus 20, I'm going to be reading 18 through 20. You can turn there if you'd like. And this is after Moses had been given the Ten Commandments, and he went down from the mountain to the people. And we'll just start here in verse 18. It says, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, and that ye sin not." He's going to read that verse one more time. "He said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, and that ye sin not." They were told to not fear because God had come to see if their fear was in them. I don't think the fear of God is being afraid. I think it is a reverence. I think it's an obedience to him. He says here that ye sin not. Psalms 103, verse 13, I want to read a verse here. It says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." I want to end with a verse from Isaiah 33, verse 6. It says, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength and salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." The fear of the Lord is the treasure of God. If we're not in a place where we can have a right fear of the Lord, we need to change that and put in place a right fear of God. And when we have that, I think God will be able to work in our lives. Thank you.